Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to your Elimination Chamber preview and prediction show. And I do have to say, right off the bat, if you have seen my Twitter feed or Instagram, you know that last night was a unmitigated disaster for the show. I ended up having Ashley Mann, who is one of our favorite co-hosts on the show, to do the Chamber preview and prediction. And it ended up not recording correctly. As we had our conversation, for some reason, when I played the audio back, it only recorded my audio. It did not record Ashley's. So it would have sounded like I was talking to myself. You know, you can imagine the anger that I felt after 90 minutes of an awesome conversation. I mean, it was so much fun talking to her that I almost threw my computer against the wall. It was extremely frustrating. However, that being said, first of all, I want to apologize to Ashley and everybody who has been expecting a preview and prediction show. That obviously that's not the way we planned it, but Ashley will be back post chamber to talk about obviously the current product and the chamber fallout. We'll set up a day. It will be somewhat soon. But I just want to let you know off the bat that that is why you did not see a normal preview and prediction show last night, is because we basically talked 90 minutes for nothing, at least for you guys. I mean, it was a great conversation, but so I'm going to get that out of the way. But I do still want to give you something as we get closer and closer to the chamber now. It is only about 6 hours away as I record this. So I do still want to give you guys something, and I'll also give you Ashley's predictions that she gave last night. Obviously, I can't speak for her, but I'm going to have to in this instance. So, the frustration. It's maddening. Imagine having a great conversation, just go down the tubes because your computer decides to only record one stream instead of two. It was a lot of choice words and four-letter words were used last night in my household. Let me just say that at about 11:30 at night. Okay. Let's get to the predictions. And again, I apologize for this being abbreviated. I normally like to dive in a little bit deeper than just, somewhat of a short version of this, considering it's a pay-per-view. So let's get to the first match here. And that match, as I pull it up for the latest card, which changes seemingly by the hour with pay-per-views, is the Women's Tag Team Championship, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. So here's what I think is going to happen with this match. This match is going to be Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, at least in my mind, probably not gaining the championship. I think that they will come close. I think there'll be miscommunications because this match is all about Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair miscommunicating, getting frustrated with one another, trying to one-up one another. You know, you have a blind tag, something like that is probably what we're going to be seeing in this matchup, because it's all about getting to Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks at WrestleMania. Ashley also agreed that Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair will probably not gain the Women's Tag Team Championship, that it will probably stay around the waists of Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. And this match really is all about Sasha and Bianca. That's the purpose of this match. And ultimately, that's what they're going for. That's the goal of this match, is to just continue the progress to get to Sasha versus Bianca. And while Bianca has not made her official decision, this is a stepping stone to get us to that match at WrestleMania. So that being said, one other item that I do remember us talking about last night, as we're pulling the conversation from memory, we discussed about Sasha Banks and her just complete lack of consistent, likable babyface nuances, and the way she speaks and the way that she acts. And I know that we have a lot of Sasha Banks fans that listen to this show, whether you love her or hate her. I don't think that anyone can deny, when you have a babyface champion say that the women's division revolves around me, somebody explain to me how exactly that's a babyface statement. Please, anybody out there, defend it to me. The answer is it's not. If you think that that's a babyface statement and then you think that's likable and that's supposed to get people to cheer for her, I would really like to have you possibly define what likable is to you. I have no clue why they think that this is a good move for Sasha, who, and again, I don't want to come across as I hate Sasha. I love Sasha Banks. She's one of the best talents WWE has in the women's division. It has nothing to do with her as a talent. She's just simply miscast as a babyface. There are certain people that just feel wrong when they're a face. Charlotte Flair is one of them. We'll get there. But Sasha Banks is another. She just does not feel natural in her role as a babyface. And just the attitude and the way she shakes her head and her mannerisms and everything around revolves around me. I'm the boss. How the F is that a babyface character? It's not. The answer is it's not. I cannot stand her babyface character because it's not a babyface. It's a heel. They turn Sasha heel? I'd love it. And actually, perhaps that maybe that's what they were going for, considering that they're building up Bianca Belair as a mega babyface in the women's division. So that's possibly what they were going for, but you cannot tell me this is a good version of a babyface. It's awful. It is awful. But we have Bianca Belair here, who is going to probably challenge Sasha and probably win the women's championship at WrestleMania. I think it's a pretty foregone conclusion, although one that I'm on board for, and I think many fans are, of Sasha Banks dropping the belt to Bianca at WrestleMania. Assuming she chooses Sasha Banks, which I don't see any reason why she wouldn't. This match also speaks to, and this is another thing that we talked about last night that you unfortunately didn't get to hear, this speaks to the lack of depth in the women's division in terms of the tag team division for the women, right? If you have to put makeshift people together to create a tag team that's not really a tag team, to put the women's tag team championships at the forefront, that tells you that the women's tag team championship has no contenders. Why they don't put it around the waist of Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott is something I'll never know. I don't understand it, but I would think they'll get there. They're about the only team, real team, that has not yet captured those belts. So it's one of those belts that everyone's going to get a turn because there are so few contenders in the pool of candidates. So again, let me just reiterate, both Ashley and I are on board for Sasha Banks, or I'm sorry, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler retaining the Women's Tag Team Championship. Is there a small chance that they could drop them to Sasha and Bianca, and then they go on a small run where eventually they drop it, and when they drop it, they get angry at one another, and they fall apart? Yes. Yes, there is a small chance of that, but probably it's a retention for the Tag Team Champions. Next, the United States Champion, Bobby Lashley versus Keith Lee versus Matt Riddle. And I say this again, we say Matt Riddle on this show. We are not going to cancel his first name. This is a match that, I know that there were some differences between myself and Ashley, I believe, on this one, where Ashley believed Keith Lee could be the one to capture the belt here. And that she felt that this is something Keith Lee needs to continue his momentum upward. He needs something, is what I believe she said, to kind of kickstart him back into gear. Keith Lee has been on again, off TV, on TV, not in the Rumble. Keith Lee's been all over the damn place, and she believes that this could be a reason to get him back into the game. And yeah, it is. I think it is. So that was her comments. Not spoken as well as she did, but I think it could be Keith Lee's time. At the same time, Bobby Lashley is killing it right now in terms of his overall body of work and what he's done throughout his career and his level of ascension in the company. I think this is Bobby Lashley's best he's looked. And I think it's Bobby Lashley's time to continue that title, the championship reign. Now, could he drop the belt? Yeah, if he drops the belt, then I would say we should probably move him into the championship picture. And I'll get to that in a moment. But I think right now, Bobby Lashley is doing such a great job in his viciousness. This is the most relevant he's been since he returned to WWE, the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania a number of years ago. I think there's no better time to continue him as champion. He is brutal right now. And if you remember the Royal Rumble spot, it took how many guys? 6 guys to eliminate him from the Rumble. So that was a statement right there. And I think it's a good choice to have Bobby Lashley continue to be United States champion. Matt Riddle has been, if you're thinking of him capturing it, I think you may be sadly mistaken. They've treated Matt Riddle as kind of the really, really good performer, kind of that chill, cool, kind of laid back pothead version of the 2021 version of RVD, as it was eloquently put by one of our co-hosts. That's exactly what he is. Excellent in the ring, but he hasn't gotten any kind of significant wins over the last several months. And Bobby Lashley, to me, is the favorite in this match to retain. Again, Keith Lee is a close second, and I'm not in favor of it. I think Keith Lee right now is not as hot as Bobby Lashley, and I don't see a need to take it off of Bobby Lashley, the Almighty. So, again, we'll get to championship implications in a little bit. Originally, we also talked about Asuka defending her women's championship at the Chamber. That has been removed. That championship match has been removed. So the Raw Women's Championship doesn't even get recognition on the show. That's sad. That is sad. We talked about this last night too, that Asuka has been all but forgotten as Raw Women's Champion. It's all about the pregnancy of Lacey Evans. How? How is it about the pregnancy of Lacey Evans right now? What about the Raw Women's Championship? Have we forgotten there's another championship on for the women? It's the most probably forgotten championship in WWE over the last 6 months. I mean, there hasn't been a challenger for Asuka since she basically told Lana, "No, I'm defending my belt against you," what, 3 months ago, something like that. It's been really weird to see it, and it's all about Lacey Evans and Charlotte and Ric Flair, which Ashley doesn't understand it. She felt that it was not really doing anybody any favors. I am very vocal about how I feel about it. You guys know that I have been a big anti storyline for Charlotte of what she's done here, considering the fact that it's not about Charlotte, right? It's about Ric Flair and Lacey Evans pregnant. Who cares, right? Like, how is this benefiting anybody? I think it all has to do with Vince McMahon just needing a scandal. It feels like he just needs that scandalous storyline because he feels that there's some imaginary audience out there that needs this in their wrestling programming. He feels somehow, some way that there's a demographic that exists that watches wrestling to go, "Oh, this is the stuff I love wrestling for." I'd love to talk to those people that think this is a good angle, because to me, it's all about serving Vince McMahon and his imaginary need to have a scandalous angle on the show. That's all this is about, and it's hurting Charlotte because it's not about Charlotte. It's bringing Ric Flair back for no reason because there's no payoff. You can't have Ric in a match. And if Lacey Evans is actually pregnant, then okay, she's off our screen. Great, have her go away. If she's truly pregnant, I don't know. I mean, it's not actually from Ric, but the storyline just angers me. So again, no Raw Women's Championship. The Raw Women's Championship is very, very hidden away. It's tucked away in the focus of creative and Vince right now, because it's really all about getting to Asuka versus Charlotte. I think that's all it's been about, and it's all it's been about since there were rumors of Charlotte returning and Lana was getting involved, and we were all just saying, "Yeah, this is a hold me over until Charlotte comes back," and that's exactly, I think, what they're doing. Okay, moving on here to I'll start with the Raw side of the Chamber. This is a match that I think is going to open the show. I think it's going to open the show because when you have two matches that have the same stipulation, WWE separates them as far as they possibly can normally on a show because you don't want the same match back to back. And when you look at the implications of the second Chamber with the SmackDown guys, there are bigger implications there, which is why I think that one's going to end the show. So I think the Raw Chamber opens the show with Drew McIntyre versus Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton versus AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston, and Sheamus. So Ashley and I are both in agreement that Drew is probably going to walk away with the championship. She alluded, Ashley did, that it could also be Sheamus, that she would not be surprised if Sheamus was actually going to be the one walking out and they build to a Drew and Chase mode against Sheamus all the way to WrestleMania. That could be something that WWE does. I don't think it's the most likely scenario. I don't want Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus at WrestleMania. I don't think that's a WrestleMania headline. It's to me, it doesn't scream doesn't scream WrestleMania worthy. It seems like a Raw main event or maybe a B pay-per-view main event. I understand their friendship. I understand how deep it goes and everything else. And I just don't feel, and I think most fans feel, while as deep as that friendship is, that it translates that well on air. I don't. I think it probably ends at Fastlane. I hope it ends at Fastlane with these two and we get to Drew's true opponent at WrestleMania, which, again, could be Bobby Lashley. Could be. It could be. If Lashley drops the belt at Chamber tonight, maybe that's Bobby Lashley's cue to move up. Maybe. You know, it's wishful thinking. But it's a thought, because I think Bobby Lashley has got all the tools right now to be champion. And the one weakness he has, which is mic skills, he's got MVP to cover that. And Brock Lesnar's been leaning on Paul Heyman for how long? So if you have all the other tools except the mic part of it down, and you have somebody to lean on for that, then you've got all the pieces in place. So that's a possibility. Now, again, if it's Drew versus Sheamus at Mania, I don't think that's going to really ring any bells. I don't think anyone's going to be losing their minds over this, going, oh my God, this is great. It's just going to be 2 months of a build between Sheamus and Drew. And so there is that. Outside of that, when you look at this match, the spots in this match are going to be insane. When you look at some of the things that could happen with Kofi and Jeff and Randy and AJ, somebody's going to get RKO'd off the top of one of the pods. Like, somebody's going to jump off the pod and Randy Orton's going to hit an RKO. I mean, you can just see it coming a mile away. It's going to be cool. So the spots in this match are going to be really, really holy S moment type of spots. You can feel that, and that's cool. I think that's what this match is going to be a lot about, are just the insane moves. And hopefully everybody stays safe. I know that they've padded the outside instead of making a metal, you know, metal or a steel iron grit pad or whatever they've used. They've padded it now. It's not that steel grate. That's the word I was looking for. It's not a steel grate anymore, so it's safer, and you just look out for a lot of bumps and bruises and crazy stuff, especially with Jeff Hardy in the mix there, which is all he's there for, because Jeff Hardy hasn't won a match in about 5 months. So we've got Jeff Hardy in there simply for the fact of he's a high flyer and he does crazy stuff. I don't like the fact that WWE is also trying to create Kofi Mania 2, right? Because you're taking something that happened organically last year and trying to recreate that organic movement. Well, by definition, you are not going to have an organic movement because you are now producing it. So by definition, it is no longer an organic movement for Kofi Kingston. I also look for The Fiend to probably screw over Randy Orton in this match, because they need to build to that for till WrestleMania. There's no way that Randy Orton comes out of this as champion in my mind. So I think that The Fiend, you know, or at least Alexa could pop in and out of the chamber and screw Randy Orton once again, leading to eventually a return from The Fiend, which may not happen until, my God, WrestleMania. Imagine that. So, all right. I do want to move on here to the main event, which is the SmackDown Chamber. It's Owens, Bryan, Cesaro, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Corbin, and the winner of that match gets a championship match against Roman Reigns. Now, the way that WWE is positioning this, they say that the winner will earn a Universal title match on the same night. Now, that could happen, or it could happen immediately following, because the way Paul Heyman originally described it to Adam Pearce last week on SmackDown is he said that the winner will earn a championship match immediately following the chamber. So could it be right after, where that person is in a million pieces, they're out of breath, they're beat up, and Roman Reigns' music hits, and we get Roman Reigns coming out to pick the bones of whoever's left. So the answer is yes. I think it could be that way, or it could be SmackDown opens the show, and the Universal Championship match is at the end of the show. So we'll see what happens there. I will say, though, that my pick was Cesaro. Ashley's pick was Kevin Owens. The reason I'm picking Cesaro is Cesaro has, over the last several weeks, WWE has laid a very, very solid foundation for Cesaro, getting real, legitimate victories over Daniel Bryan, looking unbeatable. The announcers are putting him over. Edge put him over this week on SmackDown. And he seemingly found his voice of just being himself. He's not being a character. He's not being this James Bond wannabe. He's not being a part of the bar. He is being just himself. He's not playing some kind of, you know, over-the-top character, which I think is working. And the fans are behind him. The fans respect him. The fans have watched him over the last how many years he's been in WWE pay for or pay his dues, I should say, over the last several years. And I think everybody respects Cesaro. There's no question. So I think Cesaro is probably going to be the one to come out of the chamber victorious. And Roman Reigns' music hits, and Cesaro somehow gains an advantage and maybe gets him into the neutralizer and is about to win, or at least put Roman Reigns in jeopardy, and we get a possibly Seth Rollins interference. That's what I think is going to happen, is Seth Rollins is going to screw Cesaro after going through the chamber, going through hell, facing Roman Reigns, somehow getting Roman Reigns in a vulnerable position. Seth Rollins comes out, stomps Cesaro, costs him the championship, and that's how we get to a Cesaro-Seth Rollins match at either Fastlane or all the way to WrestleMania. So that's my thought. However, closing the show, in this match, however it happens, will close the show. After Roman Reigns wins, Edge returns, spears Roman Reigns, pays him back for the spear that Roman gave him on SmackDown, holds the championship in the air, and says, "Roman, I'll see you at WrestleMania," giving us his decision that he's decided to face Roman Reigns. So I think Edge is going to be standing tall over Roman Reigns, telling us that basically he's choosing Roman to face at WrestleMania. I know that will disappoint some people that he's not choosing Drew McIntyre, assuming he retains the championship, or that he's going to be facing Finn Balor. To me, when you look at this, you can make all the arguments in the world as to why it would be a better choice for Edge to face Drew or Finn Balor. But ultimately, as sound as those arguments may be and as solid of a ground as they may stand on, the problem is you have one big roadblock in the way. And that is Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Because you know that Vince is looking at this and is trying to make the biggest match possible. And Vince doesn't look at this and go, "Oh, well, we got to make sure it's the best wrestling match." Vince is looking at this and going, "Who are the biggest names that we can put together?" And you can't argue that Roman Reigns is the biggest name out of all of those names. So that, to me, looks like it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Edge. So I'm not disappointed about it because I think all three options are good. But if you're looking for a pure wrestling standpoint, I think Edge versus a WrestleMania standpoint, Edge versus Roman Reigns is the biggest name match you can get. And that is ultimately going to sell Vince McMahon. So, and also I know that they're starting from nothing, right? Like Edge and Roman have nothing, no previous foundation to pull from, no previous story. But Edge is so good at promos. Paul Heyman is so good at promos. And Ashley brought this up last night, that imagine the Paul Heyman and Edge promos against one another. That's going to be really fun to watch. And I think that since Roman is the first one to put hands on Edge, it also tips the scale to tell us, okay, it's Edge and Roman. It's Edge and Roman at WrestleMania. I think that's a very, very solid, conclusion to draw. And I think it'd be very unlikely that they go anywhere else. So those were our thoughts about the chamber. I know, again, guys, this was not the ideal way to give you our preview and predictions, especially even for 5-6 hours from the show. A couple things that we also touched on that weren't about the chamber as I close out the show is, are there going to be any big returns? Are there going to be any big names coming back? And we discussed Brock Lesnar. Ashley and I seem to be on the same page that if anybody was going to return, it could be Brock. But Brock Lesnar's a guy that is probably content sitting on his bank account in on his ranch in Montana or Nebraska or wherever he lives, and growing his beard out and sitting at home and doing whatever he does, hunting, fishing, and just living life and in behind his 10-foot vinyl fence that he has around his house. So there's no question that he's the most likely if it was going to happen. But Ashley seems to feel that this is a WrestleMania that, you know, Brock is going to sit out of, and it's okay. You know, and I agree, but I wouldn't be surprised that if Brock comes back at the Chamber or before WrestleMania. The only problem I'd have is, well, if he comes back, then and he attacks Drew McIntyre. The problem is Drew McIntyre is still in the middle of Sheamus. It's not as if Drew McIntyre's, you know, going to finish this in the Chamber and have a clean slate to start with somebody new. It would be a little bit messy for Brock to return, and it's okay that Brock's not at this WrestleMania. You know, and she seemed to also agree with that. So I'm looking through my notes here. I just want to make sure there's anything else that we covered. And again, this is certainly not a comprehensive conversation recap, but just taking a look at our notes. Yes, The Miz cash in. Could The Miz cash in? Yes, he could. I think The Miz could cash in. You guys know that I feel that if The Miz cashes in, we could only hope that it's a failed cash in. So hopefully he does cash in. We can stop hearing about The Miz holding the briefcase and move on with our lives. That's what we can all hope and cross our fingers for, is that The Miz cashes in and then subsequently loses. So we definitely want to talk about or hope that that is the case. One last thing that we had, am I looking at my scribble of notes from last night? Apollo Crews's heel turn. We did touch on that, and we both felt this was really good for Apollo's career, because there are only two things we have ever known about Apollo Crews since he got called up from NXT, one of the very first call-ups from NXT, what, 5-6 years ago? We know two things. He has a big smile, and he's athletic. Period. End of story. That's all we've known, and that's all the announcers have ever put him over as. This past week on SmackDown, we learned more about him in one night than we have in about 6 years. We learned that he has Nigerian loyalty or royalty in Nigeria, right? He has some kind of connection to Nigeria where his family are royalty. That's new. We also learned that he's also got a vicious side. He attacked Big E from behind with the steps, and it injured Big E, which is, I think, something good that Apollo Crews has done and creative has done, is make him more relevant than he's ever been in his entire career in WWE. So that's a good thing, because Apollo Crews has been a guy that you have really been, you look at and you go, good match, good look, but you don't have an emotional investment. And now you do. You want to see Big E get revenge. One thing I'll say, and I brought this up, was that Big E has been through insane matches. Hell in a Cell, he's been through countless tables matches and no disqualification matches with tag teams. And, you know, how does one steel steps shot to the back injure Big E, yet going through countless tables, chairs, kendo sticks, not injure Big E, right? Like, it was kind of, it was a little bit laughable that, you know, that injured Big E, yet he goes through a 20-minute tables match and he comes out, you know, the next day walking around like he, you know, just did a yoga session. So it was a little bit of a disconnect for me. I'm not going to rant about it, but it's just one of those things that it was like, really? You know, he does all this stuff, goes through Hell in a Cell and is fine the next day, but yet one chair shot or one shot from the steps does it for Big E. I don't know. I know what they're doing. They're selling the injury to want to put heat on Apollo. So I understand it. It's just kind of like, huh? a little bit bizarre. So overall, guys, you know, I think this is going to be a pay-per-view that is going to be very, very noteworthy, especially considering that this has big WrestleMania implications. This could also be the pay-per-view of title retentions. This could be a lot of title retentions on the show. You could also see the Women's Tag Team Championship on the pre-show, as we did the last pay-per-view. So this is, again, I think this is going to be a great pay-per-view, really good, one that we're going to be talking about. And you'll hear my full review with the Botch guy tonight, late tonight. I'll be doing a lot of testing on my Skype recorder, as that's how I record my conversations, to make sure that this doesn't happen again. But that will be a massive review with the Botch guy. If you haven't followed him on YouTube, by the way, hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Really entertaining, a lot of fun to watch the Botch guy on YouTube. And he's just about to crack 70,000 subscribers. So go ahead and give him that subscribe, help him out. And he'll be joining us late tonight into the early morning hours of tomorrow, covering the full review of the Elimination Chamber. So definitely check that out as well. And don't forget that Ashley will be rejoining the show to talk about Elimination Chamber and all the fallout. Maybe sometime this week, if not, maybe a week in review. We'll have to reconnect. But man, oh man, super frustrating to have to throw that conversation in the garbage because of a technical glitch. So, man, oh man. Okay. Well, guys, that's all I got for you. Follow me on Twitter at @wrestling_audio to follow me with my live reactions to what's going on during the pay-per-view tonight. If you want an ad-free experience throughout the rest of WrestleMania season and beyond, and you don't want to deal with the ads, easy enough. You head on over to Patreon and search for the WWE podcast and get an ad-free experience. They also have an app, so you don't have to do the web browser thing. Join us there. All right, everybody. Again, I apologize. We'll be back with Ashley very, very soon. Until then, I'll talk to you next time.